Hello and welcome to another Modern Commerce Talk session from Evencia. As always, I'm your host Jack Stratton from Insider Trends, and today I'm joined by Robin Gustafsson, who is the CEO of Evencia. Lovely to see you, Robin.
Hello, good to see you too, Jack.
And I've spoken to so many people among Evencia and also Evencia's many partners and lots of business within e-com. But really, really exciting and interesting to be speaking to you as CEO today, Robin, and to get your view. So as we're speaking to you, we're taking a slightly broader position today to just look at, you know, kind of take some of your experience from 20 years in the business and thinking about, you know, how modern commerce has changed, where it is now, you know, why it's such an exciting area to work in and what might be coming next. So what I'd like to start with, Robin, is actually just, you know, maybe just briefly going back 20 years and looking at, you know, what got you into this industry in the first place. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, it's a long story, but I'll try to keep it short. I graduated from university in the mid-90s, and I went into IT pretty soon and got into touch with warehouse management and logistics. And so that was an interesting area, and it touched on retail in many ways. And We decided to form Evencia a couple of years later, and when we did so, we wanted to sort of bridge a gap in the IT service markets where client business needs to weren't always that well understood among IT service companies, honestly. So that's what we did. So that's my background. I founded Evencia together with four colleagues, and it was a good lot of fun. I mean, we were setting out on a journey to serve the market, and of course to have fun, to be independent, and to just do something good together.
Amazing. And how many employees now at Evencia, just to give us an idea of how things have changed in the last 20 years?
I think the latest number was 330 or 340, something. Nice. So 340 people.
There you go. I love it. To 340. Yeah. Awesome. And how, just thinking about that then, how, I mean, this is an enormous question, of course, but how has that landscape, retail broadly, but just that industry, how's it changed? You know, what did it look like 20 years ago? And what are the big things that stand out to you that are so different from then to now?
Well, obviously back then, retail was mostly physical. I mean, you trusted what you could touch. You bought the merchandise you could actually touch and hold and bring out to the store when you wanted to. There was some long distance sales, but that was actually mail order.
I mean, yeah.
Literally handing in or sending in forms from a catalog to a company and getting it shipped home. And you had to wait for a couple of weeks sometimes to get it delivered. And e-com was, of course, in a sort of an embryo state, and things were starting to happen. But I think it was the talk of the town, maybe, and it did draw a lot of attention from investors and things like that. But retail was really affected back then. I think the main topic in the boardrooms was rather, should we be in city centers or in shopping malls, rather than should we actually go online with our existing retail operation. So I think things were very, very early days and 20 years ago. And if you look at the online side, this was the time of pioneers, people who had a little bit of talent, a little bit of grit, and access to some computing skills. They could actually make a good deal for themselves within niches, of course, but it was exciting times for sure.
There's something so exciting. Don't get me wrong, it's incredibly exciting to be setting up an e-com digital business now in an environment where that's where it's completely saturated. But there is undeniably something so exciting about doing it then, knowing that, of course, everyone would like to say, oh, we saw it coming, but of course, very few people did. So what was it like in the sense of, you know, among the four of you there, what did you really think? Were you thinking those early days of kind of e-com or whatever, were you thinking, yeah, this is it? Or was there a part of you that thought maybe it's going to be a tiny thing, but actually like this is not something that's going to take over the buying world?
We saw the growth, and of course we realized that it was going to be something very interesting. So we didn't understand the wide scope of it, how much of retail would actually move online. I think no one really did. There were visionaries, of course, that, and there were prophets saying that everything would go online, etc. So there were all kinds of visions, but I think we saw it growing, but we weren't able to make a proper estimate of where it was going. I still don't think we really are. So
no,
but it was really hard back then. But we saw, of course, the pioneers setting out, digging up some dirt and placing their flags in the ground.
Yeah.
They actually did very well for themselves with just a little bit of talent and hard work. And these were the days when a decent SEO, a decent search engine optimization was enough to actually draw some traffic and actually grow a business. It's a bit harder today, I'd say.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But then I think that what you did have to have then in that, and any, I guess, anyone starting a business in a very new industry, not just talent, but you have to have a lot of bravery because you're doing something that very few other people are, and most people are betting against you, right? So that's the big thing. You've got to have a lot of bravery. So I think it's very cool. Thinking about the journey you've been on, you know, since then, something that I'm really interested in, whenever I talk with anyone who's kind of been in this business, you know, for more than kind of the last 5-10 years, where everything has been about everything being digitized anyway. So there's kind of the foundations of the whole industry have been different.
Yeah.
But across that 20 years where things really have had a massive shift, you know, in just in terms of the fundamental way that consumers, customers actually behave, the way we do things. What have been the things I'm really interested in? What are the things that kind of have in some ways remained the same, or things that have really, to you, that have stood out as being kind of ever present, as being really, really important, and that maybe have helped, you know, Aventia throughout that kind of 20 years to stay kind of consistent? What are the things that have really stood out for you, that have always been important for customers, for making businesses like this work?
I think if you look at two things, I'd say it's the availability of the service and the loyalty on the other side, the loyalty of the client. So for the retailers, the challenges in this new landscape has been to retain the loyalty of the client. And from the client, or for the customer, the challenge has been the availability, because early days, e-com wasn't very available. It wasn't very easy to buy stuff online, actually. It was, you had a hard time finding it. You had a hard time trusting the seller. You had a lot of suspicious sellers out there that had a hard time building trust with their customers. And as things have evolved, the availability of online sales has, of course, just exploded with same day delivery and trustworthy sale payment solutions and those things. But on the other hand, the loyalty of the clients has been harder and harder to retain and to build. So I think these two have been very important, and they've also been sort of a swinging pendulum from the one side to the other. When availability has become better, loyalty has become harder.
That's really interesting. I've never really put those two things together, so directly availability and loyalty, but when you did, it made complete sense. And it's interesting you say loyalty, because I feel like suddenly post-pandemic, that is kind of the number one topic again on everyone's agenda. But it's strange that it's reappeared, because it never should have left being number one from my view, right? And it's very interesting. That maybe brings me to another point, which is, you know, where, so here we are now, 2022, post-pandemic and everything that's happening. What are the big things that are standing out for you at the moment in terms of, I don't know, common denominators of successful retail businesses? What is standing out from your point of view in terms of modern commerce among retailers that are successful? You know, what are the things they're doing that no one else is?
I think we're getting back to those points. I think the availability is one. The ones that actually make their clients feel that, hey, I need this now, and I can get it right away. Where do I go? I don't even search for it. I go straight for that retailer or that online service. And those are some of the winners. And then you, of course, have those with very natural loyalties, such as, let's take pet food for an example, where you typically buy the same things over and over and over again, and you get some subscription models and stuff like that. So business models play a huge part in this. And also, retail as an industry is very diverse. So of course, some are flourishing and some are struggling. So I think, what most of the board members struggle with right now is understanding the loyalty and understanding the client. So seeing how can we retain our customers? How can we keep them buying from us? that's it's a struggle for most, and I think it's it is also a we're also in a sort of a border zone now. Are we going to do this in the analytical way? Are we going to look at the data? Are we going to listen to our old world experience, or how are we going to do this? Or are we going to with our gut feelings? And I think the most successful ones, of course, have the mixture of analytical capabilities and gut feeling, so they can actually understand the client and or the customer in so many ways.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And thinking about, I guess, that kind of analytical side of things and really understanding the customer. One thing I'm really interested at the moment is, you know, post-pandemic, one of the, it's probably not a trend, and I think there's a certain inevitability about it, but pretty much all around the world, certainly in places where, you know, we're seeing, you know, lockdowns lifting and you know, that kind of post-pandemic move to people back in physical stores and doing things and, you know, meeting up and being out and about again. Inevitably, there's been a bit of a shift back towards in-store shopping. So footfall's gone up and sales in store have gone up. And I feel like a lot of retailers are reckoning with that, and they're going, okay, so is the model now, you know, purely about click and collect or those kind of digital and, you know, very well connected services? Or is it purely that kind of, you know, people are always going to want physical experiences and they can be kind of separated from online? But I feel like a lot of retailers at the moment are just wondering what happens next, because maybe for some e-commerce plateaued a tiny bit, which is completely inevitable because people can actually go to shops again. I mean, there's nothing surprising about that. But what's your view on what's happening? Because I feel like lots of people are discussing it, and it's an interesting conversation because there's no clear view of what's coming next. What's next for you in terms of the relationship between, you know, in-store and online, and what's happening in terms of sales and where customers are actually spending their time?
In my view, there's no denial that the long-term trend is that we're still moving towards more online sales compared to in-store sales. So I think that long-term trend is still intact. But I think overlaying that is, of course, the COVID shock to the system. That's sort of swinging back the pendulum right now. Being stuck in your homes for a while and suddenly being able to go back to stores is sort of a love story coming back. it is fun to touch the merchandise. And some people who were very conservative felt maybe even forced to go online during the COVID session and now, or the COVID season, and now suddenly they can go back. So I think if you look at those two trends, they're overlapping at this point. And right now it's the trend of coming back to normal from COVID is looking very, very strong. And I think, but I think that will go back to normal as well. Convenience, availability will win in the long run. So I think we will see another break in the trend and another win for the long-term trend that is more online, less physical, or at least compared to the physical.
Yeah, and that feeds into my view, which is probably that stores will actually, the successful stores will be the ones that have a clearer sense of their role within that shift. So if more is going online, how can the store support availability, convenience, service, and maybe anything else that online can't, so experience. I'm with you in the sense of in-store sale. I think that's kind of possibly just a sort of post-pandemic novelty at the moment, because we've all learned that it is easier to buy stuff online when it works, of course. You know, we all know that not everyone got it right. And I guess it's kind of like a, you know, somewhere to kind of end this conversation on. We've kind of talked briefly a little bit about your past, the journey you've been on, and where things are now. Beyond what we've just discussed, of course, you know, we see a continuation in online sales. You know, some sectors, some brands are ahead in terms of online penetration, and obviously some other brands and sectors will catch up with that. But generally speaking, we see that continual rise in online selling. But are there any other big kind of things you see in the future in terms of modern commerce? What are the other big things you can see happening? What are the kind of standout trends that you envisage? I know this is a particularly hard question. I mean, this is kind of what I do, and I get it wrong a lot, to be honest, Robin. So I'm putting you on the spot, but no wrong ideas here, but, you know, maybe there are two or three big things you can see in the future.
Well, I think one trend that's been very obvious the last 5-10 years is that drawing traffic online is getting increasingly expensive, with a the Google monopoly and and Amazon in the US. And I think so. Drawing traffic to your online store is pretty expensive. At the same time, retail space is becoming more and more cheap. It's the competition for retailers to join a shopping mall today is fierce, and there's a lot of space open. And I think in the short term, in the last few years, the landlords have been a bit reluctant to lower their rents for obvious reasons. They don't want to reevaluate their buildings. And but I think these two trends, the rents going down and the traffic requirements on acquisition online going up, I think that's actually making a shift in the market, and that's probably one of the saving points for physical stores and for and for the combination, of course, of online and physical, the click and connects and the likes. So I think that's an interesting trend going forward to see where is there a breaking point where online traffic generation is so expensive that the physical retail space is actually a viable alternative, or at least complement in a more business sense than it has been. It's more that a lot of the consumer base is very interested in going to a physical store, but in the long run, when another 20 years, when people are older and the younger are more plentiful, where will that balance be? Where is that border? Where is that crossing line where the one cost is so high that the other becomes very, very attractive?
That's really interesting, and very pleasingly it fits with one of my big feelings at the moment, which is that I'm already seeing it. Lots of spaces being used, or physical stores being taken to be used as almost marketing spaces. And it's directly related to what you just said. If brands are looking at a space and going, well, we sell online and that works, but online advertising is getting really, really difficult and these spaces are quite cheap. So maybe we just use the space to market and advertise our products and services, which I think fits directly with what you're saying. So that's really, really interesting. Robin, just as a kind of just a final finishing point, it's been so interesting. What, where in terms of, Aventure itself, just in the time that Insider Trends have been part of Aventure, we've seen so much growth and expansion at Aventure, and inevitably with what's gone on in the pandemic, you helped so many businesses to get online in the first place, or to kind of, evolve what they were doing, which is fantastic. But specifically with Aventure, what's next? Obviously, you're growing and you're doing some fantastic stuff, but anything else on the horizon that's sort of notable, and what's happening?
I think we'll be doing a little bit more in-store if you look at the future. So I think the digital commerce is moving into the stores more and more, and it's getting less gimmicky and more actual productivity in store. So I think that's something we will be doing more of. And of course, aside from that, we'll be growing, bringing on great people and trying to expand the business in our main markets. I think that's another one. And of course, we're an IT company in many senses. And there's a lot of things going on in the technical side. So we are evaluating new platforms, new components, new things that would make our clients more successful in this complicated space.
Amazing. It's always nice to hear of IT companies getting involved with in-store tech, because then you guys can actually solve the whole, but how do we connect this to our legacy system and all that stuff? you guys actually know how to tackle that problem. So that's great to hear. Robin, it's been such a pleasure having you on. Thanks for sharing all your experience. And here's to the next 20 years, right?
Thanks for having me, Jack. Thanks.
Yeah.